Sunday. We are so ecstatic to have you this morning. If it is not your first Sunday of Redeemer, we are still ecstatic to have you this morning. Amen. Raise your hand if it's your first Sunday here at Redeemer. Praise God. Let's clap. Praise God. So glad to have you. Please do not leave if we have not already. Let me turn my mic down just a little bit, please. If we have not already had the opportunity to shake your hand, Drew or I, please do not leave this morning without us doing that. And maybe I should introduce myself if you're wondering who I am. My name is Leon McKenzie, and I'm the associate pastor here at Redeemer. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I'm so glad to have you this morning. So this morning, friends, we have come to the end of the Lent season, and we are now entering. We had one. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Someone says, yes, social media. Again, more social media. Amen. We've come to the end of the Lent season, and we now enter the season of Lent, the season where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who was crucified for us 3 days ago. And this Easter, we will be talking about, of course, the resurrection of the Lord. And we're coming from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. So if you please turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. If you'd like to have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back there on the shelf. Feel free to take it, use it, take it home if you'd like. Or you can follow along with our text up here this morning. And before we dive in, I just want to share a little bit. Today we're going to be talking about something that's quite common to all of us. All of us. And it's the topic of death. All of us at some point have had someone close, someone near and dear to us die at some point. If you've not had this happen to you, the way life goes, you will have it happen. And there's very little about life that's more difficult than having someone who's near and dear to you die. To no longer have their embrace, no longer hear their voice, their laugh, to no longer share space with them. There's very little that's more difficult to deal with than that. And this morning we're going to talk about three friends who experience just that. Three friends who lose a very dear friend. And in losing this very dear friend, they fall into a bit of despair. But through the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they experience hope. And my prayer is that this morning, as we talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we too will experience hope this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we'll read, we'll pray, and then we'll dig in. Quick. You didn't tell them about the visitor card, right? You didn't? Oh, good. I didn't think you did. Well, really quickly, if you're new, please fill out one of these visitor cards for us. They're in the flyer holder in the back. Please fill one out. Drop it in our offering basket for us. This is your free ticket to a free cup of coffee, or if you play your cards right, a free lunch. Amen? And no one's been able to do it yet, but you may be able to get a free dinner out of it. So please fill one out. We just love to keep a record of your information on file, reach out to you, let you know how glad we are to have you, and just connect with you. Amen. And we can do it over coffee, lunch, or maybe dinner if you're creative enough. Amen. So please do that for us. So we'll begin chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. In verse 11, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for another Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, where he accomplished all that is necessary, all that was required, Father, for our redemption, for our forgiveness, for us to be able to stand before you and only receive from you your absolute pleasure and favor. Lord, thank you so much for Easter. Thank you for calling us to be your Easter people, your people within whom the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ is and dwells eternally. Lord, thank you so much for Easter this morning. And Lord, this morning my prayer is this, that the resurrection would be a reality in the hearts of every person this morning. That this morning, as your word is preached, and Lord, I pray that it is done so through the power and enabling of Holy Spirit this morning. And as it is done, Lord God, that the hearts and the minds of every person here would be open, that we would be able to see you in all your glory, all your resurrected glory, Father, and that we would fall before you, with you as our Lord, with you as our Savior, and with resurrection life as our eternity. Lord God, we thank you so much for your presence here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be with our children as they're going through the different Easter festivities and stuff. May all of it point their little hearts towards you. And Lord God, I pray that when time comes, they will call on your name as their Savior. Thank you so much that you are pleased in the salvation of your people. This morning, would you just be willing to say, thank you so much for your kindness. Be with those who couldn't be with us this morning. And my prayer is that you would continue to extend your love, the light of life to them. And this would be the last Sunday they're apart from us. And help us to still be the body to them so they know they're not alone. We love and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. So our passage this morning begins with Mary Magdalene. She's going to the tomb. She's on her way to the tomb. Jesus has been crucified, as we talked about on Good Friday. The crucifixion, if you're not fully aware with that, is when Jesus is hung on the cross. He's beaten beyond recognition. And he's hung on the cross, and ultimately he gives up his life on the cross. And since he's given up his spirit, he's died. He's been laying in a tomb, which was common in these days. We find that his tomb is in a garden of such. And so Jesus is in his tomb. Well, he was in this tomb. Last Mary Magdalene saw, last that she knew, he was in this tomb. And so Mary is on her way to the tomb. And there's something pretty significant as we talk about the friendship that Jesus has with Mary. What's significant about Mary coming to the tomb is this. Why would she come to the tomb when Jesus is in there? The stone is rolled. The stone is there's a big stone that has capped it. There's nothing she can do to roll away the stone. Why is she here? And the reality is, Mary is here because she just doesn't know what else to do. See, you have to know a little bit about Mary Magdalene's story. You see, when Jesus found Mary Magdalene, she was dwelt by seven demons. Mary Magdalene was in no form of livable humanity. More than likely, being indwelt by seven demons, more than likely she was cast out from society. If you remember that one man who had demons, he lived in a tomb. He lived in with the graves and such. Mary Magdalene probably had a livelihood that was similar to that. Jesus found Mary, filled with demons, unwanted by any member of society, and Jesus loved her. Jesus cast these demons out of her. Jesus gave Mary Magdalene life. As far as Mary is concerned, she doesn't know what life looks like without Jesus. As far as she is concerned, a life without Jesus is not a life worth living. So why does Mary Magdalene come to a tomb? Why is she trying to live with a dead man? It's because she doesn't know anything else. This is how much Mary loves Jesus. This is how much she holds on to Jesus. Some of us may understand how Mary feels. Some of us, before Jesus found us, we lived the kind of life that's no way of really living. Some of us lived a life where all we did was wrestle with demons, but then Jesus found us. Jesus delivered us from this demon. And so we understand what Mary is going through. Mary is at this tomb, and when she gets to the tomb, she sees the stone rolled away. In shock, she runs away, and then she runs to two of Jesus' other close friends. She runs to Peter and John. Just a little quick Bible knowledge. John often talks about this disciple that's the beloved disciple. He's talking about himself. He doesn't want to write about himself explicitly, so he writes about himself in anonymity. And so he says the disciple that Jesus loved. But we understand that from other parts of the scripture that this is John. So she runs to Peter and John and she says, "Hey, someone has stolen Jesus' body." And Peter and John, startled by this, they get up and they run to the tomb. It's a really funny story. Peter starts running, but John just passes him up and makes it. I have my own theory for this. If we think about Peter and how he's portrayed in Scripture, I don't take Peter as the kind of guy who watched his carps. I don't think Peter was the kind of guy who walked into a restaurant and asked for the gluten-free menu. Like I do. I don't think Peter was so concerned with fitness and health, and he was also presumably older than John. And so John, being the healthy, youthful man he was just able to sprint by him and get to the tomb. But when he gets to the tomb, he doesn't go into the tomb. He waits for Peter to get there, and Peter, being who he is, doesn't wait for anybody. He just goes into the tomb. And when Peter goes into the tomb, Peter sees that that things are as they are. The tomb is empty, but the linens are folded. And then finally, John comes into the tomb, and John sees that the linens are there, and it says that he believes. To what extent he believes is not sure, but we understand in verse 9 it says that, but they still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus should rise. So obviously it wasn't a fully believing fully in what was going on. They didn't quite understand it. But after it says that, they just went home. They just went home. Because a lot like Mary, for these two men, Jesus had also become their everything. You know, Peter and John, before Jesus met them, they were not significant members of society. They lived the very rural Jewish life. They were fishermen. They didn't come from majestic stock. They didn't come from a lot of money. They were on par. They were en route to just be a period and a footnote of history. But Jesus, for no other reason than the fact that he just loves them, that he cares for them, Jesus chooses these men, gives them significance. Such significance to where over 2,000 years later, we're still talking about these men. These men turned the world upside down. Jesus had become their everything. And now this, their dear friend, has been crucified, murdered, and not only that, now he's just gone. So here we have three friends who would be given to despair. They would be given to despair. But praise be unto God, we know that that's not the end of the story, right? We understand that this is not the end of the story, because in fact, Jesus had risen from the tomb, and he didn't just rise and go away. His body was not stolen. He had risen in victory. He had conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he had done so for his friends. He has done so for you and for me. But we find that our friends here couldn't tell. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you that the reason they couldn't know, the reason they couldn't quite understand what happened to Jesus, the reason why they were led to despair are very similar reasons that you and I sometimes miss what Jesus is doing. The very self-same reasons why you and I sometimes misunderstand the significance of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're taking notes this morning, I submit to you two reasons why they didn't know. First reason, the first hindrance to how come they could not understand the significance of what had happened. They couldn't quite understand what happened in Jesus' resurrection. We hear about in verse 9. It's simply because they did not understand the scriptures. They had read, being Jewish people, they had read the Old Testament, they had read the Bible where it talked about this Messiah coming and dying and resurrecting, but they didn't come to understand it. Often, brothers and sisters, we miss the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We miss the significance of what he's doing in our life, what he's calling us to do, often simply because we don't know the word. And this is not a knock on us if we don't read our Bible quite that much. Lord knows I don't read it nearly as much as I should. But it's an encouragement, friends, that if we would know Jesus better, if we would know better the life he's calling us to, if we would better be able to live a life in accordance with how he would have us to, we ought to read our Bibles. Spending time in study, understanding the things that we're reading. These are blessings. These are gifts to us so that we can take part in the beauty of life that God has called us to. Amen? This is a blessing for us. We're invited to read scripture, invited to take part in Bible studies and discipleship groups and things of that nature. I have a friend who he went to Bible school with me, my friend Brandon. He and I are a lot alike in some good ways and some not so good ways. But he is a lot more funny than I am as well. But I was talking to him about some stuff about, you know, being a young pastor to a young pastor, you know, difficulties you're having. And I remember asking him, I said, I forget what it was I asked him, but it was just something to the realm of how do I get this person to understand what I'm saying. And he said, well, Leon, whenever I sit with someone and they're asking me questions about this and that and this and that, I just tell them, read your Bible. So I'm a lot nicer than Brandon. So I'm not going to say just read your Bible. But in all honesty, friends, we are invited to take part in all the good things that God has for us. And it begins with us seeking Him in His Word. Amen? So we have that opportunity in looking at Scripture. So the first hindrance is that they didn't understand the Scriptures. But the second hindrance is they were thinking carnally or worldly. They were thinking according to the flesh. That makes sense. Oftentimes, friends, we can't see what Jesus is doing. We can't hear Jesus speaking to us because we're so caught up in the things of this world. Caught up in how much money we can make, caught up in how productive we can be, caught up in even in our own physical health. We're caught up in all these things that when Jesus is speaking to us about more spiritual, more significant things, we just can't hear Him. We just miss it. And often, brothers and sisters, often in His graciousness, in His goodness, the Lord would strip away. He'll strip away those things that we're too focused on so that we can better understand the spiritual, eternal significance of who He is and what He's trying to get us to understand. Maybe in your life you're considering the things that you're looking at, you know, most recently, and I didn't plan to share this, but most recently I had an experience personally where I came to a place where I had to make a decision. Health-wise, I had some challenges, and it was a situation where it could have gone up or it could have gone down. Only a few people in here know about that. And I remember the Lord speaking to me just within my heart and just saying, what if this is it? What if this is it? Will you still trust me? And can I be honest with you, friends? I couldn't honestly say that I would still trust Him. I couldn't honestly say that I could still trust Him. And I wrestled with this thing and wrestled with this thing until one day I came to a place and said, Jesus, when You found me, I was nothing. All that I have belongs to You. And so, Lord God, if this is it, then this is it. Praise be unto God for how good You've been to me. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes the Lord has to strip away that thing you're focused on so that it can really be about Him. Amen. And it's His kindness. It's His kindness to us. We see this in Mary. Mary is still clinging to Jesus. Mary still wants Jesus here. Mary so badly wants Jesus, the physical Jesus in her mind. She so badly still wants Him that she doesn't even realize He's behind her speaking. Mary is to a place where she so badly wants the physical Jesus that she'd rather cling to a corpse than have the eternal resurrected Savior that's standing before us, that's talking to her. Friends, don't be found clinging to a corpse when the living God is trying to get your attention. Amen. This morning, friends, this morning, brothers and sisters, I don't want to take for granted that there are those here this morning who have not put your faith in Lord Jesus Christ. that there is someone this morning who the Lord is calling your name and you are, in fact, choosing to cling to a corpse, choosing to cling to the dead and unhealthy things of this world. Friends, would you hear Jesus calling you this morning? Would you put your trust in Him this morning? For He is calling. He is calling. So there's two hindrances to us understanding the significance of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One, they did not understand the scriptures. Secondly, they were thinking carnally or worldly. So it begs the question, friends, what is the significance of the resurrection? What has Jesus accomplished for us in the resurrection? And if you're taking notes again, these will be 2 points as well. First, in His resurrection, Jesus accomplishes for us the forgiveness of sins and peace with God. In verse 19, the disciples are locked away in a room somewhere. They don't say exactly where the room is, but they're locked away in a room. They're locked away for fear of the Jews. This would make sense if you think about if you were rolling with someone, was your homeboy, your homegirl, you know, and they come to get them and they do harm to them, more than likely, they're not cool with you either. And so you're going to go hide or do what you do. Our friends here chose to hide. And so they're hiding. And Jesus shows up in the room with them. I believe that He miraculously in His resurrected body just kind of appears with the door being locked. You'll hear different things about that, but I think Jesus is able, amen, to do that. And so Jesus just shows up in the room, and the first thing He says to them, He says, "Peace be with you." And then He shows them the scars in His hand and His side. Now, when Jesus comes in and says, "Peace be with you," He is not just giving them a kind greeting. Not like when I come in here and I say, "What's up, Drew?" Or whenever I leave Ben, I say, "Grace and peace to you, Ben." It wasn't just a kind greeting. Jesus is actually showing them, "Peace be to you, and here are the means of that peace." And when He talks about peace, that is that Hebrew word that is shalom. And is a peace between man and God. It means that God's face is now only continually shown towards you for your good and with favor. You see, friends, without the resurrection, God's face is not towards us with favor and peace. Apart from the resurrection, apart from the finished and complete work of Jesus Christ, our sins still remain with us, and we are, in fact, still at enmity with God. But when Jesus rises from the dead, what He exclaims, the exclamation point, the stamp that He places on it is that it is done, but not for me, it's done for you. If Jesus remained in the tomb, He would have only proven that He died for His own sin. But in His resurrection, He proved that it was not due Him, but it was due you and I. And in resurrecting, He takes on His full, righteous, and perfect standing with God again, a righteous standing that He gives to those of us who believe in faith. And so now we also can look forward to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sins. Secondly, as I just mentioned, the significance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is that now we too can look forward to our own resurrection to eternal life. Friends, there is one staggering statistic out there. Try saying that 5 times fast. There is one staggering statistic out there, and it's this. One out of every one person will die. Put a little different for you. 10 out of every 10 people will die. You don't get what I'm saying? We all will die. And when we die, friends, we will stand before God Almighty. And the question will not be, the question asked, I know we have a lot of television shows and things that portray this because we are all so enamored and so taken up by this thought, but it seems like a lot of people don't want to do anything about it. But the reality is, friends, we will stand before the Lord God Almighty, and the only question we'll ask is faith or no faith? Is Jesus or no Jesus? Because Jesus is our only hope, friends. And I'll just put it this way. The consequence, the result of the no Jesus, of the no faith, I don't think that's anything any of us want. And that's definitely not what I want for you. But the blessing, the eternal bliss that is Jesus, that is faith. Amen, brothers and sisters, we can all have that this morning if we would only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For everybody here, bow their head and close their eyes this morning. Friends, this is not something that we commonly do here at Redeemer. But in my prayer and preparation for the sermon, I sense the Lord having me consider this. There very well may be someone here this morning who you do not know what it means to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not know what it means to be a Christian. And if that's you this morning, I'd like the opportunity to acknowledge you and pray with you this morning that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would be saved this morning. And prayerfully, to begin this walk with the Lord this morning. And this is all I'm going to ask. No embarrassment or any of that. If that's you this morning, will you just raise your head, make eye contact with me, and put your head back down? Amen. Just put it right back down. Amen. Look up, make eye contact with me, put your head right back down. That's you. Amen. Amen. This morning, friend, if you, if that was you, you made eye contact with me, raise your hand or your head, right in your heart where you are, right from your seat. I just want you to pray this prayer with me this morning. And I want you to pray it from your heart where you say, Lord, I believe that Jesus has come. He lived the perfect life, and he died death in my place, and that through him, I have the forgiveness of sins. Forgive me for my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Help me to live for you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer this morning, I just want to say welcome to the family. So glad to have you this morning. Praise be unto God for you. If there's anybody else this morning, you say, hey, I still have questions or anything like that. Drew will mention it in communion. Please feel free to talk to me, talk to Drew, talk to Ben, talk to Rachel, who is up here. Talk to Nate, your person sitting next to you, whoever, that they don't know the answer. They'll point you towards someone who does. We'd love to talk to you this morning about what it means to be a Christian and put your faith in Jesus as your Savior. Amen. Amen. We're so glad to have you this morning. We'll pray one more time. Pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for those who you saved this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you again for your kindness. And Lord, thank you for the resurrection of our Savior and therefore the resurrection of our life in eternity. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen.